Thank you for joining me on the Boise Art Scene podcast. My name's Morgan McCullum. I'm here with Candy Canning with the Catalyst Arts Collaborative, here to talk a little bit about what goes on here and about yourself. Welcome.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Morgan.
Can you tell me a little bit about what Catalyst Arts Collaborative is?
It's always, I'm not really good at the elevator pitch because we do so many things here, but
sure.
Basically we're here to support artists, to engage the community in the arts, and to fill in any gaps that are missing. So we do a wide range of things, from employing artists to teach classes and giving them a fair deal, so they're actually making a decent living, to we have a mentorship program, we have after-school classes for kids, and we kind of partner with a lot of different organizations. So we love to do collaborations and create space for people who need it. So things like programs for teens who otherwise wouldn't have that kind of support. So
sure.
Yeah, we do a lot of things.
Awesome. You also have a gift shop here in the front. Tell me a little bit about what's in here.
Yeah, so our gift shop right now is a collaborative, kind of separate from the rest of the space, but also integrated, if that makes sense.
Sure.
There's about 25 artists in here right now, and we're hoping to double that eventually. But it's all local artists and makers, and I would say most of the people who are represented here are somehow involved with the CAT, whether they are teachers or volunteers. Mm-hmm. And then there are a few people who have just are here as an artist in the shop, which is fine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Where are you located? How can people find Catalyst?
So we just moved about 6 months ago. We are now on West Eustick in Boise. 6427 West Eustick. We're kind of between Cole and Curtis. Just up on top of the bench right there, kind of over Garden City, sort of. A nice little shop. But if you look for the blue neon lights in the window, that's how you'll find us.
Yeah, you know, I put it into, I don't know if it was Apple Maps or Google Maps, but one of the maps. And it took me right here. I mean, it had me turn in the parking lot, and then it had me turn when I got into the parking lot. And I was like, I was kind of looking. I was like, where is it? And then I saw... But yeah, so if you want to find it on your phone, I bet you can. Take you right here.
Awesome.
So tell me a little bit about kind of the history of CAT here and how you came to be, how you started this. And.
Oof, okay. Well, I guess Catalyst has become my latest medium. I guess people have become my latest medium as an artist. About 26 years ago, I took a college class and we had to come up with a business proposal. It was like a speech class. And my business proposal was this kind of cool little art space that could be transformed from a bunch of small spaces to bigger spaces. And I kind of had this very vague idea of this place where kids and seniors could be kind of making art next to each other and feeding off of each other, that kind of lack of inhibition that kids have. And then how, as we are adults, you know, we tend to get so critical.
Sure.
So kind of started with that little seed, and then it just kind of went away for a long time. And in 2016, I co-founded the Gem Center for the Arts. And so our original idea was, you know, we did all kinds of surveys in the city and talked to artists for about a year, trying to plan what we wanted to do. And so most of the vision for the gem was my vision of this kind of place, space for artists that we could use and learn and grow and encourage each other and just kind of be very supportive. And things happen the way they happen, and things are derailed and don't always work out the way that we plan. I ended up leaving the gym shortly after we opened, and I was teaching art education at BSU and just kind of doing my thing. And I happened to find out that the gym had gotten sold, and got in touch with him, the new owner, and he found out who I was and was like, oh my gosh, we need you back. And so I kind of turned in my resignation at BSU and went back to the gym. And I knew immediately that I that I still wanted this, that this vision, it kind of just woke up again in me. And I knew I had to do it a little bit differently. So I immediately negotiated, you know, I'll do this for you, but I need a classroom space. And so we started in this, in the basement, in a 400 square foot tiny room. And we had our classes there and would cram our figure drawing students in there. And then grew from there. So about 6 months later, we opened, that room became our clay studio, and we opened a 600 square foot classroom on the second floor of that building. And then a few months later, we just found that we needed more space, and we wanted to be together, and we wanted to have this gift shop, and we wanted to grow. And so we spent about 9 months trying to find a space until we landed here. And so now we have about 2,600 square feet, and we've already decided it's a little too small, so we're still trying to grow, but in time, we'll be here for a few years. But basically everything that was my original vision and then some, right? Because everyone I meet and everything I learn, that vision just keeps expanding.
Well, I will say, you know, this is a much more accessible space than at the gym. Not to discount the gym at all, but yeah, this is a very accessible space. You've got, you're right in the front door, you're right into the gift shop, and then right through the front door is your classroom. It's very clearly laid out.
Yeah.
a lot less confusing.
Yeah, I think so too. And we've had a lot of really good feedback from people who had been to the gym before, and it was hard to find, and it was hard to find us once you got in the building. And so yeah, definitely being on a main road was one of our main goals.
Yeah, that'll help visibility 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a pretty central location. We've had a lot of, we get a lot of people coming from Meridian and even Nampa and Eagle saying, oh, this is so much more convenient. So yeah, we're kind of in a good location. We get a lot of feedback about good energy in here. So that's good too.
Yeah, no, it's nice and bright. It's, yeah, no, very, very nice. No, I felt good walking in for certain.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about what kind of stuff goes on here? So, I mean, you mentioned that you wanted it to be an all ages kind of thing. What kind of stuff do you have? What classes?
Yeah, so we have all kinds of things. We have drop-in classes. We kind of say all ages and all stages. So we have drop-in classes for kids and adults. We have a full clay studio, a classroom where we teach anything from watercolor and acrylic painting to macrame and weaving and printmaking. We have advanced classes for artists, like finishing paintings, which is more of a critique class. So you can come in and really get fine-tuned on what it is you're doing, even if you're an established artist. Our most popular things are probably figure drawing. We've been hosting figure drawing for years and years and years.
Yeah.
It started at my house. And figure drawing, figure painting. And like I said, we have a full clay studio. So we have classes that are one-offs. We have courses that are, you know, weeks long. And then we also do special groups. So we have field trips come through. Like, we've had 60 kids come in at once to do empty bowl project. Yeah, so homeschool groups and after-school classes and cancer survivor groups and Girl Scouts and you name it. We like to cater to different groups, and you just kind of give us a call and we'll set something up for you.
Yeah, so how does an artist or something like that get involved with Catalyst?
There's so many ways to get involved. Generally, it starts by just coming in or sending an email and like, hey, this is who I am and what I'm kind of interested in. And then usually I sit down with whoever that is and we have a conversation. And it's usually kind of just getting to know each other. I like to ask a lot of questions about, you know, who they are and their skills and what they're interested in, and also what they're interested in learning. We're not about, you know, come and bring what you can bring for us. We're really about that symbiotic relationship of come and learn from us, but like, give what you can and take what you need. And
well, it's in the name, right? The collaborative,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so yeah. Absolutely. So We have a lot of volunteers who are behind the scenes, and some people might just help out once or twice a year with specific things, but other people come in every week and do tasks, anything from like working in the gift shop to fixing things or admin things. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities. We do a lot here. So, but basically just coming in and talking to me, and then usually somewhere in the conversation, things start to come together and I'll say, oh, you would be perfect for this. And then once I kind of explain what that role might be, oftentimes that's kind of where they end up, because we've kind of made a good match there.
Have people been showing up at the new space? Have they been, coming in and at the same rate that they were at the gym?
Oh, I think that we're so much more accessible now. People come in constantly, like, just all kinds of artists that we've known and never gotten to meet. Like Fred Choate's been coming in. He lives just around the corner, and all kinds of people that I meet. And I think definitely it feels more welcoming. You know, at the other place I wasn't always there. There wasn't a space for me to work while there was a class going on. And now here, we have an office and we have a kitchen and we have our own bathroom. And like those little things that really make a difference when you're trying to run an organization.
Did you have to do a lot of the transformation of this space, like walling off this gift area and stuff like that?
No, actually, I had not seen this space when we rented it. We were lined up to rent a different space and it just didn't work out. And I had about 2 weeks to scramble and find a space because we had already put in our notice. I had kind of looked at this building before because I live pretty close by and I hadn't seen it, but we aren't that old. We haven't been around that long. And when you're trying to find a new space, they want to know all those specifics and 3 years of tax returns and all those things. And I'm like, I don't have any of that, So it finally came down to just that conversation of like, look, we need a building. What's it going to take? And I hadn't actually even seen the space. So we agreed to take the space. And then I walked in and I was like, this is pretty much perfect. The classroom's a little more narrow than we would have liked, but having some offices is really helpful right now. So.
Sure.
Eventually we'll need a bigger space, but right now I think we're making it work pretty well.
Here, set up all the time, you've got the clay studio, is that right?
Yeah, so Cat Clay is a full clay studio. We have 6 wheels and 2 kilns and a hand building area and all kinds of glazes.
Yeah. So people can fire here as well.
Right. Yeah. And some people will just drop stuff off to be fired here. But we have membership. Well, we did have memberships. We have just switched to a multi-pass system, which is a little bit more flexible. So the clay studio, you can buy a multi-pass, and the more sessions you buy, the cheaper it is per session.
Okay.
But they're good for 2 years, and then you can share them. So you can bring whoever you want, and it all includes, those are 2-hour sessions you would book, and then you come in and there's an instructor, and you tell them if you want instruction or not. And if you kind of know what you're doing, they'll just let you loose on the wheel or whatever you need to do. And we sell the clay here. So those passes, yeah, they include everything but clay, and we sell clay so you don't have to go anywhere else. So
a beginner or an experienced person could benefit from coming in here. In one of my recent interviews talking about Kayla Morgan, Lala's Fresh Pots, and how before she had a space, she was throwing clay in her bathroom, because that was where she could contain that mess. And so for somebody that might be in a similar situation, it might be nice for them to be able to come here for a couple of hours.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And with that multi-pass, it comes down to like 20 bucks, 21 bucks, something like that for a session, which is great. I mean, we try to keep everything really affordable and accessible. And then we have scholarship programs. So it's called the Art Start Fund. So a lot of our work in the shop even benefits the Art Start Fund. So we try to make scholarships available to anybody who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford these classes. So that's helpful. But in the regular classroom, we have printmaking and, like I said, fiber arts and acrylic and watercolors and oils and alcohol inks and collage, and I could go on and on. Lots of mediums.
So do you have a press, or is it more of a hand print making type of thing?
We're doing everything by hand, just the old school way right now. But one of our members, Casey Gurr, is going to try to bring in. He's got a really old press that he wants to bring in that we can work on. He said it's a little tricky, but we're hoping to get that up soon. And that's definitely a wish list item that we have on our in our vision for sure. Having a big press that we can make more prints with.
One of the early artists that I interviewed was Carl LeClaire, and he had a press that he had purchased from BSU as a surplus item, you know. And I think he's the only printmaker I've interviewed who actually had a proper press. Tom Kalos is one that I've interviewed who does a hand process for making his prints from the lino cuts.
Yeah, and his are huge. He's got big prints too. Yeah, that's fabulous. Yeah, I know Wendy Blickenstaff has at least two presses, which are really beautiful.
I mean, I see a lot of lino cut and, I mean, all sorts of mediums and, I mean, ceramics, everything around. So, yeah. I mean, you've definitely got a lot of representation here.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about the events that you've got coming up? You mentioned we've got Art and Roses. When is that going to be? What else do you have happening here? What's happening?
Yeah, so much. Gosh, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but let's see what I can remember. So we recently were kind of gifted Art and Roses, which has been going on. This is our 33rd year. We co-hosted it last year, but it's our first year hosting it on our own. And that is always on the first Sunday in June. So this month it's June 2nd, and it'll be at Julia Davis Park, just next to the Rose Garden by BAM. And we will be extending that this year. So it's going to be all the way from the Rose Garden to the band shell. And we've the Idaho Songwriters Association is coming in to provide entertainment at the band shell.
Excellent.
I think we might have Starbelly Dancers might be there. And Rochelle Smith is scheduled to play. We'll also have figure drawing. We usually bring that out in our wheels so people can play with the wheels and some throwing. Yeah, we'll have kids activities. We're talking to Boise Arts and History to see if they might want to get involved. But yeah, we're really trying to grow that event. I think last year we had about 70 vendors, and this year we'll have over 100 artists. And it's the difference between, you know, Art and Roses and kind of any other event in Boise really is it's longstanding. It's only original works and fine artists that are local. So that kind of makes it a little bit different. So.
Yeah, that can be hard to find at some of the events.
Yeah. So we have a pretty good following of people who they know to expect high quality work, and they come back year and year, you know, year after year to buy from their favorite artists. But we've added so many new artists, which is really great to see.
And when is it going to be again?
It's June 2nd, and it'll be 10 to 5 at Julia Davis Park. Art and Roses, a lot of people don't know. So Art and Roses started as this tiny little festival that started with these watercolor artists who just loved the Rose Garden. And so they would have this little art show there. And so since then, they've been doing this every year. Many of them have passed on. There's still a lot of original artists who are still coming to this show and doing this show, which is kind of cool. And then we still benefit the Rose Garden with a large donation every year. So that's a big thing. And now that Catalyst is running it, Ellen Wilson handed that over to us last year because she wanted it to go to an organization, to somebody who could use the money. It is now basically our biggest fundraiser. And a lot of that money goes for our own operating costs and to help with our Art Start Fund as well.
If people want to help Catalyst keep going and stuff like that. Is there a way, what's the best way to support it? Is it through coming into the gift shop? Is it through donating to your, I don't know if people can donate. What's the best way to support Catalyst?
There's lots of ways to support Catalyst. We try to make it as easy as possible, right? Because there's so many ways and everything kind of counts. You could certainly make a donation, but generally people, you know, like I said, there's some things in the gift shop that will say Art Start Fund on them. And so those generally go directly to our Art Start Fund. Oh. You could volunteer. You could donate books to our art library or donate supplies. Tell your friends. Tell people about us. That's probably the easiest and the biggest thing that we need right now is just word of mouth. Like, we need people to know we're here.
Yeah.
We're starting to get that kind of inundation of people, which is fabulous, but it needs to grow more so that we can really thrive. We've been hiring people left and right, which is so strange for me as a struggling artist my whole life, to be able to hire other people to run this because we are growing. But we definitely need more volunteers, especially, you know, something like Art and Roses, we are gonna need probably 50 volunteers that day easily. Mainly because we wanna make it easier on those artists who are coming. I think a lot of us have done shows before and we're used to that, like, okay, it's gonna be a 14-hour day, we're gonna have to lug all of our stuff across this park, and who knows how far we'll be parking from that area. So we're trying to make it really easy, especially because we have a lot of older people who are participating in the event. So our hope is to have enough volunteers that we can help them unload, get their stuff to their booth, get their cars moved so that they can bring in the next vendors, all of those, make that a nice smooth transition. But really supporting them. I mean, we're really about supporting artists. So whether that's carrying their stuff to their booth or encouraging them with a mentorship program, you know, we just do a lot of things. And I think so many people get connected here, and, you know, we say we're about community, and we really are. We do a lot of team building events. Like, we have Catsgiving together, and we played this ridiculous game of charades every year afterwards. And we do monthly outings together. Like, this month we're going to go to the zoo and do some sketching and then go out to dinner. We also do open studio days for just the cat team. So anybody who's involved, that's volunteers, models, teachers, our biggest supporters, we invite them too. So most of these events we're inviting, you know, 120 people, and the 20 or 30 who can make it show up. But sure, what's really cool is you're meeting new people, you're getting to know people, and you're connecting, you're making connections. And there's so many people here who, it's really great. Like Nicole, who is our admin assistant, who I met her at a Spark Night, which is one of our events that is basically, we pull a word out of a hat, and the next month you come with something you've made based on that word, and it can be anything. Okay. So we've got anything from drawings and paintings and poems to cake. You know, we have a baker who comes every month, and he makes something based on the Spark word, which is great.
Oh, that's very interesting. So just a spark of creativity.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And that's just a free event that we do every month, again, trying to encourage you to create whatever that is. And it's all levels. You don't have to be a fine artist. You don't have to be experienced. You can just come in and dabble in whatever it is you feel comfortable in.
Yeah, I know with, myself and plenty of artists that I've spoken with, you know, having a prompt that you don't have to come up with. Sometimes just coming up with the idea is a lot. It can be too much. So having somebody provide you that spark or that prompt is awesome.
Yeah, and you end up creating something that you maybe never would have created before. It's it's interesting to see also how 20 people interpret the same word and how different we can all approach the same subject. It's kind of interesting.
Is there anything else exciting on the horizon?
Nothing I can talk about yet. We have another big event that we're hoping to do in the fall, but we aren't sure if we'll be able to do it at this location yet. So we're waiting. It's we got to go through all the safety. Is it going to be safe things?
Sure.
You know, it's been 6 months since we moved, and we've kind of had our, I don't know, I've had my nose stuck in spreadsheets for months. So now that we're kind of coming out of that and getting settled in, we're hoping to start planning more events and start having maybe even musicians come in and poetry nights. And it's just trying to find more time on the schedule because our calendar is pretty booked. We have probably 20 to 30, maybe more classes every week. So we're pretty busy here.
Is there a calendar online or Facebook or anything where people can find what events you have upcoming?
Yeah, absolutely. We have our website. It's just catalystartscollaborative.com. That's probably the best place to go, right? You're going to find all kinds of information, scholarships. We post opportunities for artists there. We've always got something going on. And then we are on Instagram and Facebook. And all of our events, we also post on Boise Weekly. So if you go online, you can check those on meetups. We post them on Facebook.
So lots of different places where people can find those. Okay, yeah. Excellent.
And then when you come in, there's a community board you can always check. So we'll post calls to artists or any other events that we are supporting. We try to spread the word. So if you're an artist, you've got an event, we love cross promotion and lifting each other up. So we're happy to do that for each other.
Excellent. Well, is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I haven't brought up?
I don't think so. I think just tell everybody about us. Come in, stop by, check the place out.
So one more time, what's your address and social media handles, all of that, so that people can come in and tell people about it?
Yeah, awesome. Our address is 6427 West Eustick in Boise. Website would be catalystartscollaborative.com. You could reach us at catalystartscollaborative@gmail.com. And then socials, again, Catalyst Arts Collaborative. We're trying to keep it all real uniform and
yeah,
and
oh, that's smart.
Easy. Yeah.
When I was talking with Danny Avery, he was very similar. He's trying to keep all the handles the same. I try to keep everything as Boise Art Scene. You know, it makes it simple for everybody in the long run.
It really does. Yeah, Danny's one of our volunteers and artists who comes in for figure drawing pretty regularly. It's fun to see too when people mention people and we're like, oh yeah, they're kind of part of the cat. You know, we probably have, I don't know, close to, I would say about 150 people who are involved with Catalyst in some way. So it's kind of cool to see just how many people show up. And then a lot of times people will come in for a class and then the next thing you know, they're like, I want to volunteer here. This place is great. Like, I want to be here more. And I mentioned Nicole earlier, our admin assistant, just every day she just says, I love my job. Oh, I love my job. My job's so fun. I love my job. And I think a lot of people really, you really do enjoy being here. We really are supportive and we're professional, but we're like human, you know?
Oh, you've always been very wonderful to be around. You've got a very bright energy about you. You know, you make it very pleasant. So
thanks, Morgan. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've always tried to be. I have my dark side too,
well,
you know?
Doesn't everybody.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, thank you very much, Candy Canning with Catalyst Arts Collaborative, for joining me on the Boise Art Scene podcast. I'm Morgan McCollum. You can find more on BoiseArtScene.com, and all the social medias are Boise Art Scene as well, Instagram, Facebook. Thank you. Have a great one.